It's an honor to be here. It's a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege to be in a pulpit and open the Word of God and preach the Word of God. It's an honor and privilege. Never take it lightly, and I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner saved by grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. That's all I am. That's all I am. May 2nd, I think, is a Wednesday. We won't be here. We're going on vacation, my wife and I, first time ever in our lives. It's we are having our 20th wedding year anniversary, May 2nd. We married 20 years. And I just want to recognize and honor my wife at this moment. If my wife can come forward. Come here, honey. In a minute, let's clap again. But hold on, I just want to say something. In a minute. I just want to honor her. For her to be married to me faithfully for 20 years, she's a great godly woman. Trust me. She has left her home, her family, has followed me to South America.
Praise God.
We've ditched our comforts, everything. You have no idea. And she loves me. She loves Jesus. And so we've been married 20 years, and I just want to give her, not me, her a round of applause. Marriage can be a good thing, a blessing. You can have fun in your marriage. And a lot of people don't understand that now. There are more divorces in America. I don't even know, I think it's one out of three, one out of two. I think it's over 50%, actually, of divorces. And I'll be honest, if it wasn't for the Lord, I might even be divorced. If it wasn't for having Christ as our foundation. I remember our first 5 years of marriage, we were talking about divorce every year for the first 5 years. It's the truth. I remember times she'd say, I'm going to the courthouse. And I'd say, I'd meet you there with the papers. And thank God that never happened. Amen. But marriage is a blessing when God is first. You know, if God's the center of your home, God's here, and here's a relationship. Well, when God's the center, the husband and wife are both focusing on God, and that's how you come together. But when two people are on separate pages, it's not fun. It's not good. We have to get on the same page. And for many years, we weren't on the same page. Or my wife had to be on my page, but I would never want to be on her page. And that's where I was wrong. And I had to learn. So marriage is a learning process. No one gets married with a handbook of how to be married and be the best. Okay? There are hard times. There's struggles. But we have a manual called the Word of God. And we have love, the love of Christ and forgiveness. And I just want to tell you, marriage can be a blessing. It can actually be a blessing. You say, my marriage is not, but it can be. It can be. And it doesn't matter the past, and it doesn't matter what happened. God can turn your marriage around to where it's a joy to be married. Amen? Look with me in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. Philippians, this morning, it's good to see everyone. It's good to see the visitors. I thank God for you. We love you here. You're important to God. Every single one of you are important to God. Okay? Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Okay? And we're going to read a very well-known passage of scripture, but I want to focus on one thing here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4. Let's start. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That means don't just care about yourself, care about people, care about others. Life is not all about you. I know some people, the center of their universe is them, and you're the most miserable. You're the most miserable. There is, you know, joy. How do you spell joy? J-O-Y. Is that right? Well, you know how to have joy in your life. J, Jesus first. O, others next. Y, yourself last. When yourself is first, there's no joy. Well, who is our greatest example? Jesus Christ, King of universe, Lord of all. He left heaven, left his throne for us. To serve us, we need to serve him. And there was no one more happier than Christ. He was even happy to go to the cross for us. It's amazing. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Husbands, don't look just all about your feelings. Look on her feelings and hers. And wives also. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every single name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, one day, atheists will not exist. Atheists, people who don't believe in God, one day will be falling at the feet of Jesus Christ, confessing, you art the Lord, you are the Lord, O Jesus Christ. Yeah. Every single scientist and God-hater and doubter and denier one day will confess Jesus Christ. You say, when that day will be? When they die. Do you know one day you're going to die? I like talking about death. You say, that's weird. That's kind of strange. No, I just know where I'm going when I die. I'll be in heaven with God. A lot of people, death is down and gloomy and groomy because, one, it's scary. People are scared of what they don't know about. No one wants to die because you don't know what's going to happen next. When you die, where are you going to go? Well, you know there's a hell, don't you? Jesus said himself, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, spoke more of a fiery hell, a real, literal fire that burns your soul for eternity. He's got to remember, in God's time, there's no time. See, we live in a three-dimension world. We think time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. God is outside of time. So God is before time, after time, in time. So God, there's no time with God. He's outside of it, seeing it all. For us, we think in time. We don't understand. But one day you're going to die, and if you're not forgiven, if your sins are not forgiven, you'll go to hell. Not because God is bad. Not because God is evil. But because God is good. You say, why would God be good if he allows people to go to hell? No, you don't understand about the nature of our Creator. Our God, our Creator, who you know is true and exists, he's the creator of all of us. But you got to remember, we are not all the children of God. We are all the creation of God. God wants to make us his children. But how? Through receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ came to adopt men and women to become part of his family. God loves you so much, God wants you to be part of his family. So a lot of people say, well, if there's a God, why do bad things happen? If there's a God, why earthquakes and wars and problems? I'm going to tell you why. You ready? Because we are all sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. He's a sinner. She's a sinner. And no one's better than anyone. We all need God. We've all fallen and failed. There is no one here that can say, I live perfect. I am perfect. No, you're not. And you can't look at the drug addict and the drunk on the street and say, I'm better than them because I can control my life. That's not true. Because I want to tell you something. You might not be lost in society, but you're lost inside your heart with God. See, a lot of people think, oh, he's lost. Why? Because he's got tattoos on his body. He's drinking. He's got a needle in his arm. And I want to say something. He is lost in society with God. But there are people with life insurance and health insurance and family and marriages and jobs, and they got their car payments down and they got their life doing pretty well. And I want to tell you something. They might not be lost in society, but they're lost with God. I would rather be poor and suffer with Jesus and forgiveness in my heart going to heaven than being rich and having all the money in the world, but being miserable, hatred, and dying, go to hell. You can't buy happiness or love. Well, think about it. I mean, all the politicians we know. Do you know real rich people? You ever met, heard of a real rich person? They're taking pills. Their kids are committing suicide. There's no peace in the home. There's no joy. But yet they have all the money in the world. Money's not happiness. It helps. It gives some comforts. And who doesn't want it? I mean, we all need money to live and survive. But peace in your chest, fulfillment and satisfaction in life only comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can confess him now, or one day you'll confess him, but not voluntarily. You'll be forced to confess him and then be cast into a lake of burning and fire. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord. What is that? Jesus Christ is Lord? What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? What does Lord mean? Generally speaking, a Lord is someone with authority, control, or power over others. Would you agree with that? To say that someone is Lord is to say he is a master or ruler of some kind. Is that true? Back in the times in England, when they had palaces and knights and kings, they would say, "Oh Lord, Sir Lot, oh Lord, so and so." And what they're saying is that you are over me. I have to submit to you, or you could kill me. You're in charge of my life. And they get down and they humble themselves before men, before emperors, before kings. Is that true? Yeah. But Jesus Christ is something much more than just a Lord or a boss on earth. Look with me in Revelation chapter 19. Let's look at that. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, the last book of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, the Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And what I was going to say earlier, and I skipped it, that souls go to hell not because God is bad. People go to hell because God is righteous and good. You say, what does that mean? God is so holy. Listen. The creator of the universe, our creator, our maker of all things. He is so pure and righteous and pure light, there's not a little darkness in him at all. So because of who God is and because of God's being, he's so holy, so perfect, so true, so honest, so good that Jesus Christ, God, can't even be with a little sin. Not because he's angry, he's so holy he can't be with it. Like, he's so pure, he can't let sin be in his presence because of his purity, because he's so awesome and great. Amen. So if that's true, which it is, if you die in your sins, how can God be with you? Not because God's evil. He can't allow you to be with him because you're dirty in your heart and mind. You said things you shouldn't have said. You've touched things you shouldn't have touched. You went to places you shouldn't have went. You thought things that you shouldn't have thought. You felt things that you shouldn't have felt. You desired things that you shouldn't have desired. We are sinners. We are all sinners. Is that true? Now, because of your sin, you're going to die one day. It's a fact. So don't be surprised when your grandmother at 90 dies. And you say, "Why, God? Why'd you take her?" She's 90. It's time to go. I'm not making that light. People get cancer at 50 and 60. It's horrible. We die. People live and die. The Bible says life is as grass. It comes up, it goes. Life, your life is like a rose that pops up and then goes back down. It is but a vapor. We're here for a short period of time. And we're all going to die. Some young, some earlier than others, some live longer. We have no control over that. So death is sure. But Christ is the cure. If you die without Christ, if you die without God as your Lord and Savior, you'll be lost for eternity without God, without purity, without love, without forgiveness, and you will go to hell. I did not make that up or even using tactics to scare you. I wish hell didn't exist. You think I want to believe in hell? I wish hell didn't exist. But it does exist. If hell didn't exist, why would God kill his son? Would you kill your son for bad people? Would you kill someone you love for bad people? Why would God the Father allow his son Jesus, the pure one, the holy one, be murdered? You know why? Because he loves you. He knows that you're going to hell when you die, and he's concerned. God is so concerned for you. When you're not concerned for yourself, God's so concerned. What did God ever do for me? All I've ever had is trouble and problems in my life. 2,000 years ago, he was nailed in his hands to a wooden cross. He was nailed at his feet and a crown of thorns in his head for you and for me. Why? Because God loves you so much. He came to forgive you of your sins. Jesus Christ came to save your soul from hell. Jesus Christ loves you, wants to walk with you and clean a dirty life, clean a messed up life, clean an out of control life. God wants to put you back in order and make you respectable and honorable. He wants to make you a daughter of God. You say, yeah, but I have God. I believe in him. But he's not your Lord and Savior. It's one thing to know all about God and religion. Oh, I know about it. I heard that all my whole life. In your mind, it's another thing to have Jesus Christ in your heart. Big difference. Anyone can. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Why, I'm in church. Yeah, but do you know Jesus personally? Have you ever met him? Did you ever realize you were a sinner on your way to hell and you came to the cross of Jesus looking for forgiveness? And I'm going to tell you something. There is not a sin in your life that Jesus Christ can't forgive. Amen. Let's say some of you have some secrets, things in the closet, skeletons, regrets. You have hurts, bad conscience. Sometimes you feel like you're unworthy and you're the worst mother and you're the worst father. Sometimes you feel like you're the worst human being and you'll never make it, you'll never reach it. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what happened to you. Jesus Christ, he is the only one that came to forgive all of your sins. He came to cleanse you, to make you pure, spotless. Who can do that for you? Religion? No, religion didn't die for you. Jesus Christ died for you. Why is that? Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. Now look with me in verse 12, Revelation 19:12. His eyes, talking about Jesus in the future, when he comes back in the second coming, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he, talking about Jesus Christ, and he hath on his vesture, on his clothes, and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the Lord of every single president ever in the United States of America. Jesus Christ is the boss. He is the Lord. Though men don't obey him nor follow him, some men don't even recognize him, some men don't believe him, some men curse his name, but Jesus is still the Lord. Now, I want to say this. Jeremiah said, "There is none like unto thee, O Lord. Thou art great and thy name is might. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation from hell, neither is forgiveness from sins, neither is a way to bring us to God, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none, listen to this, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power. Can you think of all power? 100% authority and power. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, just listen, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So much power that the Bible says that the winds and the rain obey Jesus Christ. That's pretty powerful. Imagine going to a storm, walking outside and saying, storm, get out of here. And the storm clouds go and the sun and the birds chirp. You're like, everyone look at you like, what did you just do? There's no way that's possible. The Bible says in Matthew 8:27, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The Bible says that all the devils and bad spirits obey Jesus Christ. They were all amazed, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Jesus has power to forgive all of your sins. Jesus has power to wash away all of your guilt, all of your sins. Anyone here feel guilty sometimes? Come to Jesus Christ and be washed in his blood. Anyone need forgiveness? Come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to establish religion. No. Jesus came to save your soul from hell. Jesus Christ came to bring you to God the Father. But how can sinful people like us be able to live with God forever? We need to be forgiven. We need our sins cleansed. We need to be forgiven. Have you ever sinned, hurt someone you loved, and the person that you loved didn't want to forgive you and it hurt you so bad because you want that person to care about you again? You wanted that person to accept you again? You wanted that person to forgive what you did or didn't, or they thought you did? You see that? Well, that's forgiveness. You need forgiveness from God. Your problem in life wasn't your circumstances. You know what your problem in life is? You lived your life not having Jesus as your Lord. So you knew all about Jesus and you believed him. But Jesus Christ was never the center of your life. You never met him personally. Yeah, you knew all about God. Here, maybe you even prayed. Maybe you even went to Mass and saw your relatives baptized. And maybe you went to certain functions in Christmas or Easter. And you say, well, I believe in God. I believe God exists. But I got my way and you got your way. And I got my belief and you got your belief. And I want to tell you something with a lot of grace and love. Neither of us, including myself, you cannot believe in God your way. You must and only can believe in God his way. And his way is found in the Word of God. So you can't just believe in God your way. You have to learn, God, how do I believe in you? What's the correct way to believe? I'll be honest, people kill people in the name of God. Are they believing correctly? But they think they're right. Men molest children and abuse others. And they think, well, God told me to do it. And we look at them going, are you sick? Yes, they are sick, but they have their belief. You can't believe in God your way, what you feel. You must come to God and say, God, I surrender. I can't do it. I know how to do it. Well, your life's been a mess. And think about it. Everything you've done, how many decisions you've made that you've made a mess out of things? So wouldn't it be wise to come to an almighty, wise God that knows everything and he knows the best for us? That's called repentance. Repentance is when you know you can't do it and you come to someone that can. As long as you're strong and you can do it, why pray? As long as you're strong, you got this, right? You know all, you make the right decisions, really? Then why are you then you're not going to come to God. When you're weak is when you're strong. When you think you're strong, that's when you're weak. It's the opposite of the world. The world says, no, be strong. You can do it. Positive thing. And you're like, I can do it. I can do it. And yet you're suffering. And you realize years have passed in my life and you seek where I'm at and you go, where am I? What have I done? You know what happened? You lived your life your way, doing the best you can. Guys, we must come to Jesus and say, I'm sorry. I ignored you. Yeah, I had you in the little box in my mind, but I never opened my heart up to you as my Lord and my God and my Savior. Jesus is so much Lord that the Apostle Thomas dropped to his knees and said, my Lord and my God. Look with me in Acts chapter 16. I believe Jesus Christ wants to save and forgive at least three people here this morning. You say, who is it? I have no idea. I have no idea. But there are three people. There might be more. But there are at least three people in this congregation that God is knocking on your heart. Right now, he's talking to you, and you're like, what's going on? And you're like, there's a battle going on in your mind, in your heart. And you're like, what's something's happening? Like, it's more supernatural. It's not me just, oh, this guy's preaching. Like, something's happening to you emotionally, and you're thinking about things, and God is trying to reach your heart, and he's knocking on your heart. But then you're wondering, should I trust it? Is this real? I mean, how do I know if this is the real thing? And then there's all this going on. You know what it is? God himself is trying to speak to you, but the devil's saying, no, not now. No, another day. No, just this is your first time here, or you've been here for 10 years, or you've been here for 2 years. No. And God's trying to get a hold of your heart about something that I have no idea right now. And you know God's speaking to you. It's not this preacher. I don't even know your life. I don't know who you are. God himself, when a preacher opens the word of God by the Spirit of God and preaches the word of God goes out and starts speaking to everyone differently. We all don't receive the same thing right now. God wants to meet you where you're at. And I have good news. A lot of people think I have to clean my life up first. Wrong. No. Jesus came to save sinners where they're at. To take you out of that. It's not like, well, I have to quit doing drugs and quit drinking. And when I clean my life first, then I'll go to the church. And then Jesus will accept me because he sees that I'm worthy now and I'm clean. Well, if that was the case, you don't need Jesus. Just change your life and be a good person. Do you know no one can get to heaven by changing their life? That's why I have a lot of people, I'm a Christian, why I stopped drinking. That's great, but when did Jesus come in your heart? Why changed? You can change denominations, change religions, you can still go to hell. Yeah. You need to be saved. What's saved mean? Well, if you were lost, wouldn't you need somebody to save you? If you're drowning in the Delaware River, don't you need someone to rescue out of the river? You are lost in your sins and you're going to hell. You have a knowledge of God. You know everything. You can read the Bible. But there's no witness that Jesus Christ came into your soul and saved you. And you don't have 100% assurance that if you were to die tonight, you would be directly with the Father. And guess what? Let's say that is you this morning. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. In order to get help of health, you have to recognize the problem. If you want to be healed of some kind of sickness, first you have to recognize the sickness. Imagine having a cancer or a sickness. You say, I'm fine. I don't need nothing. The doctor's like, you really need treatments. Oh, I'm fine. I don't need that. I don't believe that junk. He's pretty foolish, isn't he? In order to get the help you need, you have to confess and recognize and admit. And I have good news. In the world, in the streets with your family, they make fun of you. They put you down. They say you're weak. You're nothing. You need this. I want to tell you something. With Jesus, he doesn't call you weak. He doesn't make fun of you. God doesn't put you down. He wants to receive you. Don't be scared of your sins. Run to God with all of your sins. All of them. God, I'm this. I do this. I need help. And Jesus Christ will help you. That is the purpose of the cross. And in proof, Acts chapter 16. Acts 16 verse 30. Look with me, please. In Acts chapter 16, verse 30, the Bible says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? When the Bible says be saved, it's being saved from hell, an eternal judgment, a punishment that is real after death. Now look what the answer was. The apostles said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, if they believe also. Well, you say, but I believe in Jesus. Have you ever made him your Lord? Now, that's interesting. Anyone wants a Savior, but not everyone wants a Lord. Help me in my need, but afterwards, I'll see you later. I could care less. It's like people believe in God like a pharmacy. I'll give you an example. If you're sick, you go to the pharmacy to get your medicine. You don't love the pharmacist. You don't love the doctor they gave it to you. You just want what they got. You want money, and you want blessings, and you want fame, and you want some peace in your life, and you want a good life. That's what you want from God. But what you don't know is that you're a lost soul, weak, you're ashamed, you're hurting inside. There's no love, there's no joy, there's no happiness, there's no satisfaction. You have an emptiness that you're trying to fulfill, and it's wrong, and you're on your way to hell without God. And God says, daughter or son or whoever, I came to save you. You need to be saved. You know what people do? How dare him? They halt, they fuck up. Why, who does he think he is? Isn't that what the Pharisees did to Jesus? You know why the Pharisees hated Jesus? Because they were so righteous. They were like, we tithe. I go to church. You don't know who I am? And Jesus said, yeah, outwardly you look so great. You're like this great Christian. But inside your heart, you need God. You can't fool God with your trying to be spiritual and trying to be more righteous than the others. God knows who you really are. And until you admit who you really are, and until you humble yourself and come to the cross, and look for forgiveness. You know who needs forgiveness? Someone that's guilty. Are you guilty this morning? I got good news. Come to the cross. Forgiveness of all of your sins, past, present, and future, is found at the cross of Jesus Christ. But it's not good enough just to know that. Well, I know that. What happens if I'm sick of and I'm dying and there's no cure? And doctors actually said, go home, make your bed. Say, kiss your family, in 2 weeks you're dying. There's no hope. And the doctor sends you home. You're in your house, you're sad, you're skinny, stench is coming from you, you're dying. And all of a sudden the doctor comes and knocks on the door. And yeah, come on in. Are you so-and-so with this sickness? You're not going to believe this. We just had a major medical breakthrough. Well, what do you mean? We just found the cure. Let me show you. We just found the cure to your illness. What? Yes. It's amazing discovery. We just tested it on so many people. It's a sure cure. If you drink this medicine, it will kill the bacteria or the viruses in your body, and you'll live. What? Tears stream down his face. How much do I owe you? Oh, no, it's nothing. It's for free. We want to save your life. Well, can I do anything for you? No. All you have to do is just take it. It's a free gift for you. You say, but I don't deserve it, and why me? No one deserves it. It's for you. It's just out of love, out of just God is good. That's the only reason. And all of a sudden, this guy who's dying, doctor leaves, the medicine's on his table, and he's sitting, and he looks at it with tears. I believe in this medicine. This medicine has the power to cure me. This medicine has the power to save my life. What happens if he sees the medicine, believes the medicine, but what happens if he never drinks it? You've come here today and you believe all about God. You've heard it your whole life. But when did you ever come to Christ as a sick human being, maybe not physically, but spiritually in your heart? And when did you say, not only do I see that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for me and for all my sins, not only do I believe that, I am coming this morning recognizing I need it and I am the sick sinner that needs health, salvation, and forgiveness. And with all of your heart, you say, I don't know how. I don't know much Bible. I don't have a lot of knowledge about church. But all I know is that this man, Jesus Christ, came for me to forgive me. And all you have to do is take it for free. You say, there's no way it's that easy. It's that easy. You say, there's no way that's easy. I got to do something. You do have to do something. trust Christ with your heart. Do you know it's easier to change your clothes and look and shave your face and do something outwardly good? It's easier to do that than to give Jesus all of your trust in your heart, because you've learned not to trust no one. Because who you know is people, and people failed you. People have hurt you. People have lied to you. People, when you were young, you trusted this person. They took your heart and smashed it. Is that true? Jesus Christ will never hurt you. He is the only man that is true and faithful. And he's always right. And he's always good. And he loves you so much. Why is it we go to bad people and trust bad people, but we won't trust Jesus Christ? Like, all of our lives, we've trusted people who have hurt us, right? Why can't we trust Jesus Christ? Is there anything wrong with Christ? Is there anything wrong with Jesus? Did he ever do anything? No, he's done nothing but want to save you and love you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, just listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How can you be saved? Not just know about Jesus, but personally receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And I want to tell you something, confess. I confess in front of the crowd this morning. Jesus Christ is not just the Lord. He is my Lord. But he hasn't always been my Lord. There was a time in my life where I had a knowledge of God, believed in Jesus in my mind. I even felt him, prayed to him. I knew he was there, but it was like God was so far out in the space, and I was trying to like find him. But you know, one day I realized that I was a sick sinner in need of a Savior. And I realized why Jesus died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for me, to save me from hell. He died on the cross to forgive me of all my sins, so that God, the Creator, will be in my life and be with me, and I'll be with him. Jesus came. Jesus is that bridge to the sinful man to be with a holy God. Jesus is the bridge. You want to meet God? You want to be with God? You want God to be with you? You have to come through Jesus Christ. Not through religion, not through church, not through baptism, not through changing your life. Jesus will change your life. You can't do it. Be serious. How many times have you tried to change your life for the better? Isn't it hard? And what if you do change something good in your life? There's still something bad. And sometimes it's so easy to do wrong, and it's so hard to do good. Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Jesus Christ came to take care of all that. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for your sins. But that's not all. When he was buried, he rose again by his own power, that whosoever believeth on him with their hearts shall have everlasting life. Do you believe that? I love Jesus. I want to obey him. I want to live and serve him with my heart. Why? He is my Lord and Savior. But he is my Lord. Now, I have a question for all of you. I know you know Jesus Christ is the Lord. I know that. Is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your Lord? Look with me in Luke 6:46. In Luke 6, in Luke 6:46, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, are you ready? And Jesus said, the Lord Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know what's interesting? You're probably thinking right now, man, I got to like obey the commandments. I got to obey all these rules. Do you know what the Lord wants you to do? You know the command that Jesus wants you to do this morning? You want to know what it is? The number one command that will change your life? One thing, not 10 laws, not 10 things. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to change your hair, your clothes, your shoes. You don't have to worry about obeying any laws. Zero. You ready for this? You know what command Jesus wants you to do so he can be your Lord and Savior? You ready? With your whole heart, come and believe on him. Can you do it this morning? Do you need Jesus Christ? Do you have sins in your life that need to be forgiven? If you were to die this morning, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not 100% sure, you can be if you come to the cross. Jesus said, all that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care what you've done. It does not matter. If you come to Jesus, he will not cast you out. Do you care about pleasing Jesus Christ? Do you care about serving God? Is he first in your life? Do you care about what Jesus wants you to do? Do you try to do it? Will you make him your Lord today? Will you serve him with all of your heart? Before you can serve him, before Jesus can be your Lord, he has to become your Savior. God wants to save a few people here this morning. And I'm going to make an invitation while somebody comes to play the piano. I'm going to make an invitation, and let me explain how this works. It's very simple. You don't have to be embarrassed because here we're on your side. We love you. God loves you. This is not the world. This is not a place where people make fun of you. This is not a place where people look down on you. This is a place where you can find refuge, forgiveness, and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask an invitation. What's an invitation? I'm going to first say, is there someone here that needs to be forgiven of all their sins? Is there someone here that recognizes they're in trouble with God? And when you die, you're going to be without him because of your sins. But God loves you. And God doesn't want to reject you. God will accept you with all of your sins and your faults. How? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins. All of your sins in the past. All of your sins in the present. All of your sins in the future that can't even come. Jesus was nailed on the cross and took your punishment. Jesus took your payment. So that if you come and ask God for forgiveness for living a life against him, and you ask Christ to come into your heart and save you, and you trust Jesus as your Savior, it is 100% guaranteed. How do I know? Because God can't lie. It's 100% guarantee that if you come and trust Christ as your personal Savior and you mean it from your heart, all of your sins will be gone. Jesus will actually move into your chest and live inside you. You'll be made a new person little by little, but you'll notice changes every day. You're like, something's different about me. And everybody will be like, what's wrong with you? You'll be like, I don't know. I just came to Jesus and he's doing a great thing in my life. But you have to first come to the cross as a sinner needing a Savior. With everyone stand up, please. No one's looking around. Let's bow our heads. No one's looking around. Is there someone here that can humble themselves, and you don't care about anyone at this moment. Doesn't matter who sees you. You're in good company, don't worry. Is there someone here that needed truth, that needed forgiveness, that needs some love? Jesus loves you. He died on the cross and gave his life for you, but you have to come and take it, that's all. Is there someone here that knows that they're a sinner? And they want to trust and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just raise your hand and put it down. I want to pray for you. Anyone? Lift up your hand, put it back down. Okay, I see you. Anyone else? Just raise it and put it down. Okay, I see you. Anyone else? They need Jesus. Anyone else? Okay. I have good news for you. You know why you came this morning? It wasn't for what you thought. God brought you here because he had other plans. God saw your suffering. Those nights that you had tears, the hurting in your heart. And you said, where's God if he's real? He just knew it wasn't your time yet. You wouldn't understand it yet. But he brought you to this church to hear this message right now for you. This whole message is for you. It's like not for anyone else. It's only for you. And this is your chance. The question is, will you come and take it? Will you come and drink the water of life? Will you come and receive love, grace, and forgiveness through Jesus Christ? If God spoke to your heart and you would like to be saved from hell, have all of your sins forgiven, and God live in your heart, I ask you to come down to the front and meet me. Let's pray right here. We'll just pray. Don't be scared. I already know people want to come, but they're scared. Anyone just want to come? You say, what do I do? Just walk down to the front.